You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! It's the United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's league encounter with Stalybridge Bridge Celtic.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Very shortly, we'll be hearing how FC United got on in their match against Stalybridge Celtic, but before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week's show by wishing all the best to defender Tom Eckersley, who announced last week that he is taking a break from football and leaving the club. Also departing is coach Dave Brown, who is also taking a break from football. We wish Dave well for the future. In his place comes Gary Vaughan, who joins the club's coaching staff following spells managing at Trafford FC and Ramsbottom United. In other news, two academy players have signed first team forms this past week and have been promoted to Carl Margeson's first team. Mike Jones and Sam Baird, who both impressed in FC United's recent FA Youth Cup run, have been promoted from the youth team setup to the first team. And away from the pitch, this year's FC Youth Christmas party will take place before the match against Boston on the 17th of December. The party will be from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. in the main stand bar at Broadhurst Park. There'll be the usual food, drinks, music, plus an entertainer and a visit from Father Christmas, of course. The players and management staff will be making an appearance too. For more details, please contact chrisb at fc-utd.co.uk or text 0781 391 3357 to book a place. To the weekend's football now, and on Saturday afternoon, FC United travelled to Bower Fold to take on relegation-battling Stalybridge Celtic. Before kick-off, Ben caught up with FC United manager Carl Margeson.
So, thanks for joining us, Carl. Before kick-off, a couple of matters arising since we last spoke. Tom Eckersley's left the club to take a break from football, but we brought some two new exciting signings from the youth setup.
Yeah, I think anybody who's come along to the FA Youth Cup run has seen the quality that we've got at that age group, and we've decided to definitely encourage that growth, and also give the lads an opportunity to, you know, be part of the squad. It is a learning curve. It'd be pretty phenomenal if you know, kids of that age could really go in and compete for the full season, but getting them in and around the players, getting them in and around the first team dressing room, because it is different to youth team football, getting them training with the first team is going to be only beneficial to them, and hopefully there's more to come. You know, it should give the lads from the academy a nice boost for them to be thinking about. You know, the manager will give me a chance if I put the required work in.
And Broadhurst Park's coming to its own this season with the FA Youth Cup. There's been a lot more attention given to the squad, and obviously it's had a cracking run to the first round proper this season. Like you say, a lot of exciting prospects in there. Sam Baird, he's centre-back, he was the captain. We've got to remember, against Carlisle United, he's playing against a forward line there who who've played for the first team at Carlisle United. So he's...
Well, we'll find out today what Sam's got.
Oh, he's started? Yeah. Right, okay, breaking news, everyone. And obviously that's because Eccles is taking time out. It's been a hard couple of weeks for the defence at the club.
Yeah, I think it's been one of them times it seemed to happen in a season where even a small miscommunication at this moment in time is ending up in the back of the net. We've been there and seen it and done it over the past God knows how many years. It goes in little cycles. Nobody wants to make mistakes, but it's a fact of life that they do happen. We are just being quite roundly punished for every tiny error that we make. So it's one that we'll keep banging on about to the players, try not to make the mistakes, try and be sensible. I think it's about us going back to basics, first and foremost, you know, playing when we can, but sometimes we might need to, especially at you know, crucial points in the game. We seem to be conceding it at silly times when we should be seeing the game out, and that's something that we've looked to, you know, mention and also put a remedy in there to guard against that.
And just a quick mention as well for Michael Jones, a midfielder. A very mature midfielder for his age, got a very good footballing brain and puts his foot in as well.
Yeah, excellent. You know, Jones actually trained with the first team last year, you know, so we spotted that his talent quite early on. He's grown in stature, his physicality, which is, you know, essential. And he shows a great deal of maturity for a lad of his age. You know, that's been encouraged by Rodri and Jack with their coaching and recognising his plus points and points where he can improve.
And thoughts for today, just a quick thought about what are your hopes for today other than 3 points?
I'll take a clean sheet now. You know, that's something we need to focus on. I think if we can keep clean sheets, we'll always score goals. So it's after the past few weeks, you know, we go from Kidderminster, where we were quite rightly, you know, well, we were excellent, yeah, absolutely excellent, to, you know, a real low point, which was obviously last week against Bradford. Like I say, if we cut the mistakes out, but wherever we turn up, if somebody beats us, then we can take that. It's when we let ourselves down that it's disappointing. I think that's what we've got to focus on.
Well, we don't want to play Lady Gaga any royalties, so we'll close the interview there. Thanks, Karen. Good luck today.
Cheers, Ben.
Welcome, everyone, to the delightful surroundings of David Bower Fold.
Hey.
It's good to be back. I'm joined by Stephen Ward pre-match. It's 2:10. We've both had our pie and peas with mint sauce. Absolutely sensational. I've missed this place. But we're back here for footballing reasons, not just for culinary reasons. And today, it's a really important match. Stalybridge Bridge Celtic against FC United. Stephen, I'm going to suggest to you, in a very talk sport way,
a
must win.
I think we said this about this time last week, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
It was a must win and we didn't. The problem with last week's game, losing that game, ignoring the fact that we lost it, which is a problem in itself, is that it's put more pressure on today. We could probably got away with a point today, whereas it really needs to be three.
Yes. My question about last Saturday is, it's not necessarily about last Saturday, because last Saturday is one of a few performances we've had where we could go back to Gloucester, we can go back to Telford. Those kind of performances have been littered throughout this season. Peaks as troughs, as Swampy would call it. Typical mid-table stuff. My question is, though, about this game last season, which was arguably one of the most dullest 90 minutes ever, and Stalybridge took all 3 points.
It did, with that penalty, yeah.
And it wasn't because we were poor. We were just lacklustre and didn't really create much at all in that game, and that can't happen this season.
This is true. If ever a game was going to be settled by a penalty, it was this game last season. I think I said last week on this here podcast. So certainly I've said it in a couple of weeks. You know, we can lose games to better teams. We almost expect, if we're going to come and get up against your Harrogates and your Halifaxes and your Fylkes, anything you get out of that potentially is a bonus. Yeah, we could probably get a draw and be good for it. If we get a win, like, you can think, well, that's all right. You know, we get a draw. Or you have performances and results like Kidderminster. However, losing to Bradford, and if any BPA officials are listening, you know, I mean no disrespect. I said you, they're not the best team we're going to face. That's the worst thing, is to lose to those teams. We need to be beating them.
The worrying thing about coming into this game is that Stalybridge beat Bradford Park, the said Bradford Park Avenue, only a couple of weeks ago. So, coming into this game, it's too early for team news, but as you heard from Margie in that pre-match interview, Sam Baird, we believe, will be starting.
He is, yes.
And obviously, we've lost Eckersley this week. It was harsh on him last week, in my opinion. He shouldn't have been started in the first place.
To be fair, he shouldn't have started. I think it was basically last chance saloon, and unfortunately, 15, 20 minutes in, the chance went. If you cast your mind back, just quickly, yeah. If you cast your mind back to some of my interviews with Marge when I used to do my post-match, and we've spoke about players, and not necessarily naming them in the past, but players who haven't necessarily been on top of the form, and I'll name him now because he's not around anymore. But the one I can remember always standing out was Chris Lynch, who came and wasn't the greatest player that we had at that point when he first signed. And I can remember speaking to Margie, and I said, like, you know, why is he in the team every week? He's, you know, he must have somebody better. And he said, well, he's come off a run. It was at Hyde, I think, at that point. He's come off a run at Hyde where they hadn't won for 47 games or something. And sometimes you need to try and play that out of a player. Now, I don't know if that makes sense to people, it probably doesn't. I sort of get the theory that put them into a team that might actually start winning, and the confidence will grow. If you leave them out, however, it's reached a point last week whereby, you know what, we need to make a change here.
And another thing to add is that Harry Pratt and Kasimba are back from Clitheroe, they went to, wasn't it?
They've been knocking about for a few weeks, haven't they? They've been on a dual reg at Clitheroe. But, I mean, I'm guessing they haven't been playing very much for them because they've been at the last few home games. Warming up, so
Sam Baird is in the squad now, as is Michael Jones. We commentated on the Youth Cup match against Carlisle United a couple of weeks ago. Both were sensational in that game, to be fair.
They were.
So they've earned it, in my humble opinion.
I agree.
It also coincides with Corbett being out injured now, Ashworth being suspended. It is dropping Sam in the deep end a bit, isn't it?
And you know,
I remember last week's conversation about agonising over whether we should put Michael Jones as fifth substitute. This is a bit different, isn't it?
Well, I'm just looking. You're quite right. I'm just looking at the shirt, the numbers on the shorts here, and there's a shocker. We thought he was out injured long term. His knee's heavily strapped up, but Kieran Glynn's got number 7 on his shorts.
Right.
Let's put into context, he's had to make some changes. Some have been forced, and some, you know, I can see there's a certain defender who potentially is looking to be playing, but I suppose needs most of the defence at the moment. You can't, you know, we've got two new centre halves. It's like Armisen's potential on the bench as well. So
I like this because we are slightly in the dark at the moment with regards to, I mean, it's an ongoing issue. We know that some members would like to be better informed. We would certainly like to be in a position to better inform you. Fortunately, we're still at the stage where we are stabbing in the dark in a lot of cases.
Let me think about that just very, very quickly. I mean, the way that normally has been done in the past is that somebody would ring the manager on a Friday dinner time.
Yeah.
If there's nobody available to do it, unfortunately, I'm assuming that nobody can do it, you know.
And we did that a couple of weeks ago, and it falls on people to do those, you know, kind of phone calls.
The problem is, like, when I did it, I was sat in the canteen at work trying to eat me dinner. I've got an hour for work to get her through to Margie just to have a chat, and then you've got to try and transcribe something and remember what he said and write it down and get it over. It's a side issue to the match. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
It is one of the things, we are stabbing in the dark, but it's nice.
It looks that way, yeah.
It is like that old game show with Des O'Connor. You remember What's in the Box kind of thing?
We're now based
on numbers on the shorts and going, he's starting.
The yes, no game.
Yeah, so there you go.
You just said yes, so you've lost.
So today,
today's game,
today against Stalybridge, it's proper important. But because of the team selection, I'm expecting, has Margie done something here which is basically taken the expectation out of the game in some ways?
He's not taken the expectation of the game. He's potentially raised it to a certain extent, in that people have been looking for changes, and there's obviously one or two changes. So, you know, you're looking for an upturn in fortune. The problem with losing last week, of course, is that it puts the pressure on for today. You know, 3 points last week could have balanced out, and maybe a point would have been decent today. So it goes back to your point that you asked about 10 hours ago. Is a point good enough today? After last week, probably not, no. 3 points last week would have allowed a point today. So, it's...
You know what?
At this moment in time, on the run we're on, if we get a point, I'm having it, but...
I'm just looking around.
Three's vital, really.
I'm just looking around us at the moment, and who's playing who. Obviously, we're playing Nuneaton next Saturday, which is going to be very important. Nuneaton are 2 points behind us with a game in hand. They're hosting Stockport County. Alfreton Town, who are on the same number of points, but with two games in hand. they're travelling to Bradford Park Avenue.
BPA, yes. And it's on, I've seen it on Twitter.
And Curzon are travelling to Gloucester City. So there's a slim chance we could be overtaken by the teams below us. Alfreton, we want them to win, so we'll overtake us if we don't get a good result here this afternoon.
Yeah,
so
there's one for you. Please go ahead us in the league, but yeah, because they're playing Bradford, yeah. Absolutely. You know, I mean, we said last week about Curzon are daft enough to still be in the cup. They've now got a replay, and they've now got a potential television game. So, are they, you know, clutching at straws if you're looking at this, but are they going to take their eye off the ball the next couple of games, potentially some of their players to, you know, the FA Cup's going to be their priority? And I've thought about it, you know what? I think I'd rather see the young lads in the squad than bring in. He could have brought in a lone player in to play centre half for a few weeks this week.
I mean, that's what
a lone player.
The example we came up with was Charlie, and Ateague's got, he's out injured now for six weeks.
Broke his toe.
They get a player in for Fleetwood. But then
it could be somebody who Margie's not seen. He just comes to training on Thursday, has one training session, and then you're throwing him into a vital game like this. They know this lad. They know Sam Bird. They know what he can do. He's, you know, we said it on the commentary of the week. He's not scared to put a tackle in. He'll put his head in, and he'll, you know, he'll get involved. He's up against, you know, a handful today in Liam Dickinson. But you know what? If he didn't think he was good enough, he wouldn't be playing. So I think Harry Winter would have been at the back there, or, you know, we'd have shuffled it around and maybe put Tong in the. I don't know. It's a positive move. I would rather see young lads coming through.
Yeah. Only time will tell.
The position we're in at the moment means what you don't want to do is absolutely nail their confidence to the ground.
And well done for not saying something that I predicted you'd say on Red Rebel Radio this week.
Which is,
so what do you think about today's game? Two bald men fighting over a comb.
I'm not. I've seen it for a couple of weeks, to be fair.
Stephen Wood, thank you for joining us, and hopefully time will tell us that all is well here at Bowerfoot.
Fingers crossed. Always a pleasure, never, etc., etc.
Ben and Steve Wood there speaking before Saturday's big match between Stalybridge Celtic and FC United. And to find out now if FC United could take all 3 points in this crucial six-pointer, it's over to Marv Willis for a match report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers. FC United came from behind to secure a much-needed 4-2 win over local rivals Stalybridge Celtic at Boerfold on Saturday afternoon. The visiting Reds were 1-0 down after 13 minutes, but captain Jerome Wright levelled matters 2 minutes later before United ran away with the game. Goals for the home side came from Aidan Chippendale and Brian Summerskill, and the four for FC were from Jerome Wright, Jason Gilchrist and Kieran Glynn. Here's the goals.
Throw into Stalybridge again. Mather again will prepare to take it. This gets a good rub there with the front of the shirt. And throwing, this is going to be a long delivery for Stalybridge. All thrown in nicely, and it's flicked in! Well, it was a good delivery there. It was a Josh Hine with the throw, and it was Aidan Chippendale who just supplied the finish. Pretty straightforward there. Could have been defended better.
Yeah, like all of them. It was a great delivery. It's a good throw. He's put it into a very difficult area. You know, the keeper can't come forward into there to claim it. But there's enough defenders in front of him. Scott Kay was the spare man. He should be alert to these bouncing balls, and he should have really closed it down earlier.
This series of games, Bradford at home last season, Stalybridge away, was seen as an opportunity to FC to win some points and to pull away from the danger zone. It's really not working out that way at the moment. 4-2 home defeat to Bradford last weekend, and now 1-0 down here at Stalybridge as Thompson flicks it. And Wisdom there just makes a bit of a hash of it, and he's read a real hash of it. Jerome Wright, oh, the ball just escapes him below. He scores, and Danny Wisdom.
Absolutely, he's had a shocker there. You know, the ball was an easy one for him. He had a lot more time than I think he thought he did. He's slightly taken his eye off it. It's come off his shoulder that's allowed Gilchrist to close it down. And the initial ball in, I was looking at that first ball towards Jerome Wright, should have been dealt with.
And it's mistaken identity as well. It's Danny Morton. I do apologise to all the families involved for all that confusion. But Danny Morton was the man there. The ball hit his shoulder rather. Then he tried to get control of it. Completely miscued, and it fell for Jerome Wright, who buried it very sweetly. 1-1. Matty Hughes there with a wayward clearance there. Will be a goal kick to FC United. I can tell you the goal behind David Carnell is much more heavily populated than the home end. Very handy location, of course, for FC fans. Matty Hughes, and then it's played on, and Scott Kay does well, they're positioned well. Winter flicks it out towards Wright. Wright does well, likes to get a low cross in there towards, oh, it's 2-1, and it's Gilchrist. It was a low, looked like an ineffectual cross there, but the Stalybridge defence had really, at the moment, trying a tribute act to the FC defence of late. Just all missing it. Fell to Gilchrist, took it on his left foot. Nice finish. FC United 2-1 up.
Yeah, fantastic finish. And, you know, he's alert to everything, Gilchrist in there. Super finish. Gave Shenton absolutely no chance. Like you say, that ball in from right, it didn't look like anything at all. It was low. But that's... defence just stood still, flat footed, and it's allowed FC to gain the lead and the advantage.
Throw into FC United. Chantler will try another long one, about 8-9 yards from the corner flag. Can FC extend their lead here? There's an excellent delivery earlier on from Chantler from a long throw. Here it comes, near post this time, bobbling around,
hit
3-1, and it's Glynn. And it's not the best defending in the world. It came down, but it fell for Glynn, and he was sharp, and he just side-footed it very adroitly into the Stalybridge goal. It's 3-1 FC.
Yeah, very, very simple. Simple goal there from Glynn. He struck it well, didn't panic. Just, like you say, side foot, beat the keeper. But it's a fantastic throw again from Chantler. He's putting it in some great areas, and it's at the right height. It's just beat the first defender. It's fallen to Winter holding his ground, and Glynn just to slot it home.
But a lot of space here for Adam Mather. Cross ball, good ball in, headed down. What about that from Summerskill? That was a beautiful cross, and Summerskill nods it down. He was marked fairly tightly. It was a pinpoint ball, and it's Stalybridge Celtic 2, FC United Manchester 3, and the game is back on. And that will be a corner for FC United. Can they turn the screw here, restore that two-goal cushion? And George Thompson is the man strolling over to take this corner ball. Big men go. Scott Kay stays back. Baird stays back. Of course, not particularly big centre-back partnerships. So Dale Tong, in fact, the man who's gone up to provide reinforcements. Oh, nice looking cross. Oh, what about that from Gilchrist? It's an absolute peach. A beautiful corner, and in come Gilchrist on the run, loses his man, buries it, 4-2 FC.
Fantastic, that was a great corner, hit with pace, right in that area, but what a run from Gilchrist. That is how you win a header. Fantastic finish, he beat everybody. Super finish. Now can FC just control the game now, control the pace and settle into it?
Goes the final whistle, and FC United... put a dismal little period behind them with an effective 4-2 victory here at Stalybridge Celtic. Stalybridge in the doldrums, but there was a job to do, and Stalybridge got an early goal, and that was through Aidan Chippendale. FC coming back with three in the second half. Jerome Wright, Jason Gilchrist, Kieran Glynn, and FC United have, as in the as it stands table, have clambered up to 13th place, which looks a lot healthier.
Today was all about the result, and FC have got that. You know, we came here, and it was so important. It was vital for us to get 3 points. When you look at the positions that we're in the league, Stalybridge are, you know, in a desperate situation, and we couldn't afford to drop points to them. The way that we've handled ourselves on the day has been fantastic. We're still looking vulnerable at the back, but the best thing for me has been how we reacted to conceding. You know, we went a goal down in the first half, and we've come back into it. We've not reacted the same in previous games. We've let the goals affect the rest of our performance, but today we've been able to put that right, and the same in the second half. Credit to Stalybridge. You know, other people would have thought that the game was already gone 3-1 at half time, but they came back out and they brought the game to FC United, scoring that goal again. I mean, we talk about this and say how important it is for FC United not to concede so early on in games, and in that first 5 minutes of the second half we needed to contain them a bit more, but we struggled with the pace, and that was credit to Staley Bridge. But since then, you know, they ploughed on. You've got performances from Sam Baird, was absolutely phenomenal. He's come into the back four and it's a difficult position, centre half. He's handled the game so well. It's a physical game, it's a lot faster than what he'd be used to, and you wouldn't think that, you know, he's not played in there before. Absolutely superb. And another performer, Kieran Glynn and Jason Gilchrist, other two outstanding performers for me.
And that is FC Live. A big thank you to James Quinn, thank you to Emily Maguire, thank you to Stato Paul. Nice to hear from Roy Steele at half time as well. Thank you to Stephen Wood for his on air suggestions. We'll be back on Tuesday night for a Manchester Premier Cup special. The B team are back.
The B team are back.
Going all the way to Ewan Fields for the final. We're going to be there in May. So that'll be FC Live on Tuesday night. Then we're back on Saturday.
Oh, he's on Wednesday.
Oh, I don't want to go to Gorton on Tuesday for no point at all. Anyway, thank you to Emily. Thank you to James.
You.
This has been FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCody.com and the Armchair Army. Show We No Names coming up next. Farewell.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. After the match, Ben caught up with FC United manager Carl Margeson for his post-match thoughts.
So we're joined by Carl Margeson now after that one. That was brilliant. A brilliant display and much needed that.
Yeah, I think we spoke before the game, and I said about small errors ended up in goals, and there was not so much road our luck, but there was a couple of instances where on other days they might have got they might have gone in, as it didn't happen. Maybe we've turned a corner a little bit on luck. Every single one of them, you could tell the steadiness has always been there. I think. Results definitely a broader part need to improve, and that's something that we fully focused on.
Now, obviously, there was we spoke before the match about the Sam Baird going in, and we didn't know Kieran Glynn was going to be starting. That was a bit of a curveball. But actually, I think Staleybridge were a bit surprised by him. I don't think they were ready for him either. Some of the flair he was showing in that first half was amazing.
He's a talent. He's a real talent. So it's one we've got to nurture and make sure he grows. He's such a level-headed lad. His attitude is first class, and we'll keep encouraging his growth.
How is his injury? Obviously, we can't go into too much detail, but he did pull his slight hamstring issue as well in that game.
No, he's just knackered. Oh. He was just tired. and that's down to the work rate that, you know, these young lads. You can't put loads of them in together, but definitely the odd one or two. We've got to be patient with them because there's going to be instances where they might make mistakes. It's not a case of we've got to make sure we don't get on their backs. And like today, I thought Sam just grew into the game. I just thought
he was our man of the match.
By the end, he was kind of dominating the lad. A lad who's full of experience and not easy to play against him by any stretch of imagination. I thought he was excellent.
And two good goals from Gilchrist as well. That header, and the cross came in was superb as well for Thompson. But it was just cracking goal, really.
Yes.
He's had a good game.
They all have, every single one of them. They're good. Great ball in, attack the ball really well. I think that's four goals in the three games that he started now. So that shows what Jason's capable of, and he's another one that's. He can play at a high level for me.
I'm going to pray sandwich you now, Carl. Are you ready for this? Another goal, though, conceded in the first 5 minutes after the half-time.
Well, that'll be something that me and Daz and Varney will talk about, because we have mentioned it. So we... another thing we can improve on, and if you're looking for improvements on great victories, then you're heading in the right direction.
And on Wednesday we've got the Manchester Premier Cup. I think we've been banging on about this now all season, want to win it. So you're going to put a strong team out against ABA?
I haven't got anything but a strong team. The players who are in and around the squad are capable of competing. So.
Well, big congratulations to you and all the players and the staff. It's been a great afternoon, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
Cheers, Ben.
Carl Margeson there, and to find out where that result leaves FC United in the league table and for all the other results in the National League North, it's now time to hand back over to Marv Willers for another edition of Marv's Sports Report.
Thank you again, Cockers, and welcome everyone to another edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Well, after that excellent 4-2 win for United, that result moves the Reds up the table to 13th position, 7 points now from the relegation zone. Elsewhere, and the top two met on Saturday, and AFC Fylde still lead Darlington by 4 points after the teams shared an entertaining 1-1 draw. Chorley, though, moved level on points with Darlington in third, after winning 2-0 against mid-table Gainsborough Trinity. Halifax are now fourth after beating a Kidderminster Harrier side who started the afternoon in the top five. Tamworth have moved into fifth spot after winning a 7-goal thriller, their fourth successive win against a Harrogate Town side who haven't won in 7 games now and have dropped down to 10th. Gloucester City are seventh but suffered a 2-0 home defeat to Curzon Ashton. Salford moved level on points with Gloucester after winning the derby at Moss Lane against struggling neighbours Altrincham. Brackley Town's excellent season continued with a 3-2 win against mid-table Boston United, while Stockport County are now 11th after a 1-1 draw against an uneaten Town side, who are now just above the relegation places. Worcester City moved into 12th in the table after edging out AFC Telford, 2-1 that at Bromsgrove, and finally Bradford Park Avenue followed up last weekend's win over FC by earning their first home win and first clean sheet of the season in beating Alfreton Town 1-0 at the Horsfall Stadium. And that concludes this week's Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Go in peace to love and serve your football club. Ah.
Thanks, Marv. FC United return to action this week with two vital matches. On Wednesday, FC United travel to Gorton to take on Abbey Hay in the quarter-finals of the Manchester Premier Cup. The address for the ground is the Abbey Stadium, Gordale Avenue, Gorton, Manchester, M18-7HD. That's the Abbey Stadium, M18-7HD. Kick-off on Wednesday night will be at 7:45pm. And then on Saturday, it's back to Broadhurst Park as FC United will host Nuneaton Town. Kick-off on Saturday will be at 3pm. But remember, if you cannot make these games, then have no fear. The FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air on Wednesday night from 7:30pm and on Saturday afternoon from 2:30pm, right here on your very own FCUM radio. And that's it from me for this week's show. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday this week at 7:30am, 12:30 and 7pm. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store. And all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.